Hello, everybody. My name's Sean Wallace.
And I'm Lee Johnson.
And we are two members of the Proud Lily Whites.
Welcome to the Proud Lily White podcast.
So we're going to talk about the football today, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, best place to start, really.
It's been an exciting season for both the Spurs men and women's teams. I guess we should start with the men, though, and a small matter of a Champions League final.
I mean, I don't know where you start with it. I felt every single emotion over the last week. What a roller coaster.
Yes, and you actually went out to Madrid, didn't you? So that must have been an amazing experience.
Oh, Madrid was absolutely amazing. Like, when I first booked to go, I had no plan of how to get there, no tickets for the match or anything like that, and absolutely amazing. I went to the Spurs fan zone in Plaza de Colón, and it was absolutely amazing there all day. I was there nearly 7 hours.
Wow. It was a little bit warm out there, I understand, as well.
Yeah, just in the high 30s. It was definitely a factor 50 day.
But worth it for, worth it for the experience, if not necessarily for the actual match itself. After such excitement and such close calls in the previous rounds, a little bit of a damp squib of a match in the end.
Yeah, felt like a bit of a, I don't know what the word is really, just not what we was expecting. I mean, you never write Spurs off, and the previous rounds have definitely shown that. And all the way through, even after the goal right at the start, even after that, just you never write Spurs off. And we had the hope, we had the belief, and it didn't come out, which is a shame.
Well, I think neither team were playing at their best, and I think it was a replication of the game earlier in the week, Chelsea and Arsenal again. Nobody really playing to the best of their potential.
Yeah, considering there were the four English teams in there, and out of the four, arguably you would say Liverpool played the best, but even at that, it's not a great statement for English football given the fact we had four members in the finals.
No, I mean, I think from a Spurs perspective, it's difficult when you've had so many injuries, and that team, I think the starting 11, many people would say, is our strongest starting 11, but how many times have they played together, this season as a starting 11? Both Harries have been out injured, Dele's been out injured. You know, it must be really difficult to come to a big occasion like that and turn it on when two of those key players hadn't played a football game for however long.
Yeah, like the whole team's been chop and change all season, and you can see that in the way that some of the results we did just get through by the skin of our teeth, especially like the match against Ajax. I know that we had such great courage to come through that, and that's from the general team spirit, but had that team playing regularly week in, week out, it probably would never have got to that position.
But plenty of positives to take from that game as well, though. I mean, Harry Winks coming back into the squad, we've said several times throughout the season he looks like a really good English midfielder coming through the ranks, and he's still got it at the end of the season, even after operations and things. And it's just going to be interesting to see now what happens. Lots of gossip about what's going to happen close season, who's going to be leaving, who's going to be coming in. And for the first time, I think, in a while from a Spurs perspective, we're expecting quite a lot of activity this summer.
Yeah, and hopefully it's going to be a busy summer, seeing Spurs in the headlines for once, for the right reasons. I mean, all you can take out of this last season is positives. Obviously, there's lots of peaks and times that are not so great throughout the season. But when you look at it overall as a whole, from what we started with, from starting the season at Wembley to numerous, numerous injuries, the lack of transfer activity, everyone's saying it, but we did definitely overachieve this season. And it just shows what we can do as a team when we put our mind to it. And it's really good to see that development, both from the youth team and everything that Poch has given to the club as well.
I think it's interesting that there's been a lot of comment following that game that, you know, now Levy's got to step up and do, you know, spend some money. But I don't think really there was any question that was going to happen this summer. Even before the final, there was talk that this, you know, money was going to be spent this summer. Poch had pretty much laid down the gauntlet, you know, in order for me to take this club to the next level, which is what everybody says we want. We need to spend. And I don't think it's surprising, really, to find that we are actually going to be spending money this summer.
No, and it's really good to see from Spurs as well, the fact that all of the fans, even though we haven't had any signings over the last 2 years, yeah, there's been little grumbles here and there, but as a general fan base, we've all been like, it's fine, because we're building the stadium, we've got the new training grounds, we've got all of this, we're building everything. We may not be building the squad right now, we're developing from youth, but we're building, and it's a big build, and now it's time to invest in the squad. And it's every Spurs fan's dream this summer, hopefully.
Well, hopefully so. And, you know, I think we've got so many positives, as you say, and just 62,000 people watching the game on the big screens at the new stadium. How many teams can find that many people just to go and watch it together on a big screen? You know, yes, there's a lot about people going and experiencing the stadium for the first time because tickets have been hard to come by. But the atmosphere in that stadium, from what I've seen as well, you know, just fantastic throughout the whole game. Everybody being really positive, all the Spurs fans recognising that actually this is the start of a journey. This is, you know, us ahead of schedule, and just to be in that final was amazing for all of us.
I think the Champions League final is definitely the highlight of my season so far.
Well, and interesting, it's been circulated as well on social media this week. You know, Liverpool last season finished fourth in the Premier League, got to the fourth round of the FA Cup, and they were Champions League, you know, beaten finalists. Well, that's exactly what we've done this season. So why not have every expectation that next season we can go out and do even better things?
Yeah, and as Spurs fans, we will always have that belief.
Oh, well, it's the perennial, you know, I think it's fans everywhere, isn't it? England fans are the same. You expect your team to do well. But I think one of the great things about Spurs fans is that for the most part, we expect greatness, but we accept what we get, and, you know, we're happy with where we're at.
And that's exactly where we should be, like top four, Champions League final. That to me is a very successful season. And I don't think there's many teams in the Premier League that would turn that down, to be fair.
Well, and if you'd said at the beginning of the season that's what was going to happen, you would have bitten your hand off for it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, especially being in the new stadium and everything like that. I'd have said you're a joker.
Well, and certainly if you'd said at Christmas, I think, that was going to be the case, even more we would have been keen for it because we were still at Wembley. You know, none of these things were happening and, you know, we'd had a difficult start in the Champions League. I think a lot of people were writing us off at that point. So I think, you know, the difficult thing is now, how do you take that team that's got this great spirit and do what is rumoured and, you know, have an overhaul of the side, bring in new players? How do you keep that spirit that you've got in the club and bring in new players to boost the level that we're playing at?
Yeah, that's a really difficult one for any manager. I think the key is going to be getting players in earlier rather than later. You see a lot of teams do loads of deals, us as well, right at the very end of the transfer window. But the problem with that is they've had no pre-season. They've had no getting to play with the team, learning how Spurs play and everything like that. And I think the earlier that we can get a couple of names in there and get in amongst the team and integrate them, then as people do leave, we've got people who are in and amongst the team already, rather than someone leaves, there's a big hole, and then someone comes and tries to step in it. If we've got someone who's in amongst the players already, even just for a week or two in pre-season training or pre-season tour, at least they've got that experience. They know roughly what they're going to be doing over the coming few years.
Yep, and we have already made some bids. They've been rejected, but we've made some bids. So it looks like we're on the right path now for the summer. And it's going to be, well, a roller coaster summer for us, I think.
But yeah, so the men's season, I would say, has been a pretty good success overall. As a fan, I've really enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the transition from Wembley. I've enjoyed watching the style of play. I've enjoyed pretty much everything this season. Just a shame about the end result, but
well, I don't think the result of the Champions League was disappointing in a sense. I mean, maybe the fact that Liverpool didn't play as well as we know they can, and we felt that there was the opportunity there for us to take it on the day, was disappointing. But I think generally speaking, you know, to have reached a Champions League final, I think mostly Spurs fans were still pretty happy at that point.
I mean, you just have to hear that in the stadium after the match, there was just continual Spurs chants and everything like that. Even with Liverpool winning, the Spurs fans were right behind them there, and it just goes to show how amazing they have done.
Yeah, I mean, and I think for me, you know, apart from the football, you know, getting to the new stadium has been a really big highlight this season. I was lucky enough to be there for the opening night. And it was, in some ways, it was a shame it was an evening because it was rather rushed. But then equally, the fireworks and things looked a lot more impressive in the evening than they would have done during the daytime. So, I mean, that was just a fantastic experience. And, you know, the Palace fans were really great and got involved with the spirit of it all. And I just think, you know, we can now feel that everywhere around the world, people are talking about Spurs and this new stadium we've got. And we've already got great training facilities. You know, there's a lot to be proud of this season. And we just need to make sure that next season we push on.
Yeah, definitely. I've actually been to the training grounds as well, and it's absolutely phenomenal there. I don't know if any of our listeners have seen, but we made a banner in support of Danny Rose, and we contacted Spurs once. We got hundreds and hundreds of people to sign it outside the Champions League matches against City and Ajax. Hundreds of fans from Spurs, hundreds of fans from Manchester City, fans from Ajax, even local people who just happened to be passing, they came up and signed it. We got in contact with Spurs and we got to go down to the training ground and present it to Danny. And all he had to say was just how amazed he was at how much support there was out there for him. It's a shame, obviously, that we had to make a stand. But in times like this, if you don't make a stand, sometimes the players don't realise how much support they have from the fans.
Absolutely. And I think also, you know, in this world as we live in at the moment, I think often it's true that the most vocal people are, you know, are not in the majority. A lot of people, I think, possibly in this day and age, just assume that those things aren't a problem. So don't speak up about them necessarily. And it's only when you really see them coming to the forefront, as we have done this season, that we really, you know, the constant barrage that there's been this season really against those players, we've seen it. And we've, you know, we've realised that actually it's still there. And unless we speak up, you know, it's going to continue. And the majority, I think, of football fans are not supporters in any way of any kind of discrimination against the players. They love the players that play for their club and they have a rivalry with other players, but it doesn't get to that level. And I think, we, you know, everybody needs to step up and play their part in making sure that everybody knows that that's not going to be accepted.
Yeah, and it's especially something important the Proud Daily Whites definitely stand for is inclusivity and making sure that football is everyone's game, regardless of race, gender or any other factors. It's football is everyone's game. And if you're unable to go to a match or unable to play in a match because of where you come from or your background or your gender identity, if those things are stopping you from being able to go and watch or play or participate in any sports or any form of life, then there's a serious issue that needs addressing. And I think as much as sitting back and doing nothing is the easiest thing, it never gets anywhere and problems will always be there, but you have to have voices in support of those who are going through these times so that they know that they're not alone, because I can imagine it's a really lonely thing to go through.
But I think also what we've seen as the Proud Lily Whites is the importance of this, what is seemingly a small thing. You know, the reaction that we've had to having a rainbow flag at White Hart Lane, you know, the coverage that got in the media and the people, you know, really in support of that and really seeing that and being proud of the club for having that there. You know, I think little things make a big difference, and it's that visibility just by simply saying we're here and we're doing this. You know, you bring out the ante as well by doing that. But I think you really see, you know, as somebody sat at home maybe who's not been to a game, you see that on the television, you think, oh, actually, you know, I am welcome there, and that is somewhere that I can be myself. And I think that's really important. Sometimes we think that we have to make great big grand gestures and, you know, expensive things have to happen, but actually at a grassroots level, you know, those little things about visibility are so important.
I completely definitely agree with that. My local football team that I used to work for, I never used to play, unfortunately. I never was fit enough to play. But the local team that I used to work for, they had no real discussions about inclusivity or LGBT things and things like that. And it wasn't until I started working there and I started asking these questions and I met some barriers along the way that they actually realised, actually, even at grassroots, like small non-league football clubs, they still need to be working towards inclusion and making sure that football is everyone's game and it's accessible for everyone. And like you said, it's the small gestures that make the biggest thing. I think that the flag there on match days and having photos of it posted by Spurs and retweeted and things like that. Just seeing the support from them, they're supporting us, supporting them. And it's just one really nice cycle.
Absolutely. And I mean, I live in Surrey, and having been involved with the Proud Lily Whites and things, I've, you know, taken it, I get more involved with, look, you know, on social media and things, the Surrey FA, you know, they had games for football versus homophobia. They were really, you know, had a few games that were designated under that banner, and you could go along and, you know, they were really inclusive for people. And I think it's really great that, you know, at every level, it's starting to get the message through that, that, you know, everybody loves football. It's the national game. It brings people together, you know, in all senses. And, you know, there's nothing that should divide that. You know, there will be rivalries because of the club you support, but those rivalries are within the game and shouldn't take anything else into account. We're all football fans when it comes down to it.
Exactly. And it's such a shame what did happen to Danny when he was out playing for England. But again, all of the England fans have all got behind him. Like I said, we had people from Man City. We've had fans from all different clubs come and sign the banner for him. And it just shows that everyone is on the same side here. Well, mostly everyone's on the same side, and we just need to keep that going.
Yes. And so, yeah, I mean, really, you know, lots of positives from this season, and lots of things to work on in the men's game for Tottenham as a team and wider generally, you know, how things are going to be supported. I mean, it's great to see as we head into the summer season, lots of clubs starting to talk about what they're going to be doing at Pride parades over the summer. We've already seen Birmingham Pride. We've had Aston Villa and West Brom having their LGBT groups represented there, and it looks like London Pride is going to be as good as always with representation from, you know, the London teams, and we're looking forward to being there for that one.
Yep, so the Proud Lily Whites are going to be there, so if anyone is going to be along at Pride in London, come and give us a little wave in the parade. Details are still being finalised of exactly what's going to be there, but I can tell you it's going to be really good this year, and it's definitely going to be worth coming down to see.
Well, it's great, isn't it? You get that, obviously, with the other London teams, there's that rivalry on the football pitch, but there's also that rivalry behind the scenes. And it's still part of, you know, who's going to be the best London club at Pride. So I think it's worthwhile coming down to see who puts on the best show.
Exactly, yeah. We want to be the best, as always.
but it has to be said that actually, I was really impressed by Chelsea. In their megastore, they've got Pride key rings and Pride badges available just in their normal megastore, which is fantastic. And other London clubs have had, you know, rainbow flags and things for sale in their shops. So there's a lot of movement, and there's still some way to go with, you know, with everything, but there is a lot of movement, and we need to make sure that we keep the pressure on so that everybody feels that that movement, and that we get to the point where it becomes normalised.
Okay, so let's talk about the women's football team.
Oh, yes.
What a season they had.
Well, yeah, incredible season. I mean, the culmination, really, of, I would say, 10 years' work for the women's team. I'm a season ticket holder for both the men and the women's teams. And I really only started going to the women's games last season, having sort of said I would get involved and not done it, but I'm really pleased I went along. It's a very different feel to the men's games, a lot less people there, but it's a real family orientated atmosphere. And the women's game throughout the world really is really experiencing a major upturn at the moment, and Spurs women are getting there just at the right time, I think, securing promotion this season to the top tier, the FA Women's Super League, after a tough season. And this season we weren't anticipating so much promotion. We were thinking, you know, we brought in quite a few new players over the summer in contrast to the men's team, and thinking let's consolidate and some young players as well, and let's consolidate, have another season in the Championship and see what we can do. But then there were two places available in the Super League, and we got the second one. So a fantastic result from a great bunch of women.
I mean, it's just such an amazing achievement considering the competition they're up against there as well. It's just the emotion that you saw from them girls after that match was just...
You've got to remember that these are women who are working, many of them full-time, and then coming and training 3 nights a week and then playing on a Sunday, as you know, and the final game of the season was away at Durham, so you have, you know, some real travelling involved as well. And in fact, the game against Aston Villa had to be postponed because there was an accident on the motorway, so they couldn't get to the game in time, get to the ground in time to play the game. So, you know, some real kind of different challenges than you get in the men's game. But as I say, you know, a real path from 10 years ago. I mean, the club has been around for a lot longer than that. But 10 years ago, manager Karen Hills came in. Captain Jenna Shill actually came back to the club and they started on a journey. And, you know, Jenna is still playing pretty much every game. And you've got some players who've been along most of that journey with them, alongside some real newbies. Some, you know, Rhianna Dean and Jessica Nas joined us this season and brought some real quality there. Last season, you know, Sarah Wiltshire brought some real experience, and Ashley Neville, who, you know, won player of the season last year and has been, you know, living in the Midlands, driving down to training in London, driving back up again and doing, she's been a teaching assistant. You know, some real commitment and just love of the game, and that's what you see on their faces, and it's yeah, great.
That you can just see that. Passion runs right through the whole team.
And some of us went up for the, obviously we've been to all the home games, but some of us went up to the Villa game, which is when we won promotion, an evening game, a bit of a late night dash up to Birmingham. And but really worthwhile being there, because, you know, there was a point where we started to, there was the chance that we, you know, Durham were coming behind, Charlton were coming behind. And it wasn't by any means a foregone conclusion. And Aston Villa were really piling on the pressure. All we needed was a draw, and keeper Chloe Morgan made a great save, and then Ashley Neville with a fantastic header. Her head was very important for the last few games of the season.
Definitely. And what was that atmosphere like when you were there, just as that goal went in?
It was just. I mean, we were right by the dugout, and you know the atmosphere on the bench and amongst the Spurs fans that were there. We were, you know, I mean, I think we all just wanted it for the players, because they've been working so hard and achieving, you know, above and beyond where we thought they'd be. And it had been a great season, and for them, you know, and it was a life changing thing for them. You know, we talk about promotion in the men's teams, but it's not really that same thing, because promotion for them meant they go full time professional. It means they don't have to work other jobs. It means they can focus on being footballers, and that's all they're going to do. And so it really is a life-changing thing for them, and I think we all really felt how important that was for them and for the club, for Spurs, you know, to finally be up there and now working towards competing with the Arsenals and the Chelseas in the women's games, because they have for, you know, many years now really been leading the way.
And for them to be able to be up there in the Super League competing those matches, that's going to be some amazing experiences for those. They're just going to absolutely love that.
It's going to be a really hard season. It's going to be a really hard season next season, because, you know, a lot of those teams have been professional for many years or several years, and
yeah,
have been much, you know, they've got international players. I mean, we've got a couple of Welsh players and a couple of the England under age groups, but no full English players. And so it would be really, you know, it's going to be a really difficult season. Then after this season, where we've been winning most of our games, it's going to be difficult. But there are certainly some teams there that we can look to keep pace with, and as you know, as time progresses, then we'll be chasing the heels of Chelsea and Arsenal and Manchester City.
Definitely, and we should hopefully be seeing a few call ups to the England national women's team as well. Hopefully,
well, that would be fantastic, and you know, we've got some really good players, and also, you know, players like Megan Wynn, who is regularly in the squad for the Welsh team. Not yet found her way into as a regular starter, but you know, if she can be playing professional football now for the next season, who knows what can happen? You know, that it really makes a difference, I think, to be able to say, I'm a footballer, that's what I do, and at the end of the day, at my end of my working day, I can rest and I can, you know, do the things that I need to do, not go out and play football after my working day.
Yeah, so with England's women team heading out to the World Cup, what are your expectations of that?
Well, I think we can be fairly optimistic. Phil Neville, obviously England manager, has said, you know, this team of England women can be world beaters. And you know, we won the She Believes Cup recently, beating Japan, who are, you know, are one of the best sides.
And what a phenomenal match that was as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Japan can turn it on in tournaments. You know, we know that with the men's teams as well. And Japan have been one of the big teams, along with Canada and America and Brazil, in the women's game. And I think it was a fantastic result. You know, I think people weren't necessarily expecting that we'd win that competition, and we did. And it's put a bit of pressure maybe on, and the friendlies subsequently have not been not had the results we might have hoped. Whilst we were all worrying about, of course, the Champions League final, there was a Lionesses game down at the Amex Stadium.
Yeah, they were playing New Zealand, weren't they?
They were, and not the result that they were hoping for with that game. So they go out to France with maybe something to prove now, but their first game is on Sunday the 9th, and that's against Scotland, who are playing their first Women's World Cup.
Yeah, what a fantastic experience that's going to be for them as well.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that this is, you know, as I said, the women's game is, you know, really having a moment right now. And this World Cup, I think, is creating a lot of atmosphere. The opening game and the final sold out very quickly after going on sale.
And yeah, I know there's a lot of proud Lilywhites who are going out for the Women's World Cup. I'm can't wait for them to get back and just tell us what an amazing experience they've had out there for that. So if you're a proud Lilywhite fan and you're going out to watch the World Cup, tell us, what are your expectations? Where do you think England are going to come? What do you think the best route for them to get through is? Let us know. If you get in contact with us, you can contact us on our Twitter, which is at SpursLGBT, or you can message us on our Instagram at Proud Lilywhites. You can also get to us on Facebook, just search for the Proud Lilywhites. So get in contact with us and let us know how far you think the England women's team can go.
Yeah, it's going to be, whatever happens, I think it's going to be a fantastic tournament. And I think I think we'll be disappointed not to get out of the group stage. Scotland, as much as, you know, we have an affinity with Scotland, I think we should be expecting to win that game. Japan, we've proven that we can beat them recently, and we've got Argentina as well. So not an easy group, but certainly a group that we can get out of. And then we look to the quarterfinals, obviously, after that. And another month of football. Brilliant stuff for the Lionesses. And, you know, I mean, that's the other thing about the Lionesses, of course, is you've got faces in there that have been playing for years and that we know really well, you know. And then there's new players coming through, and with players now being able to play professionally and just dedicate their time to football, you know, it can only get better. And we're proving that we are keeping up with the rest of the world when it comes to women's football now.
Yeah, and we're starting to see those attendances going through the roof for the women's team as well. You're getting all TV rights, all different coverage of it as well, which is fantastic to see, and definitely on the up.
We're getting some big names as well coming in to support. That, you know, Boots are now supporting the women's team, Lucas Aid is supporting the women's team. You know, finally it's getting to the point where there's some real recognition. And, you know, people have been saying for a long time that nobody wants to watch women play football. But if you look at what's been happening in Europe this season, there've been 30,000 people at a game. You look at what's been happening. Well, the Manchester United women team have had the highest attendances from either Super League or the Championship in this country. They've been having thousands of people at their games. You know, Arsenal went to the Amex for their final game of the season. They played at Brighton's stadium, and I think, you know, they got great audiences there as they lifted the trophy through that game. So it really is starting to pick up. I mean, it would be a shame in some ways to lose the atmosphere that we have, and I hope that it continues to be a family game, because, you know, it's really is family game, kids running around watching the game and being able to enjoy it. But it's really starting to be something that we're taking seriously, and I hope that it continues for a long time.
Definitely, and it's definitely going to be something more that's beamed out to TVs around the world. Families will be able to sit and watch it at home, same as they get to watch the regular World Cup, they can watch the Women's World Cup. And they can get involved.
The BBC are showing, I think, all of the Women's World Cup games either on the main channels or through the red button, as they do with the Men's World Cup. So no excuses now. You can watch plenty of games, and I'll certainly be tuning into all the England women's games, see how they fare. And hopefully, you know, this is the next stage of, you know, really important things. And, you know, Spurs women really now are there at the moment that it's happening, and you know, we're calling them Spurs Women because that's what they're changing their name to next season. So they've done fantastically well to get where they are and to be where they are. And as you say, hopefully we'll start seeing some Lionesses in Spurs shirts.
So pretty successful season for the men's team, an amazingly successful season for the women's team. Let's just hope next season can match up.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? That we've had a great season. And well, I think, as I've said, from the women's team perspective, realigning the goals, realigning what a successful season is, because we're not going to be winning lots of games. We're going to have a really tough season. But I think if we stay in the Super League at the end of next season, that will be a huge achievement for us. And for the men's team, well, I think, you know, we're the world is our oyster. We've got to be expecting pushing on in the Premier League and another great run in the Champions League.
Yeah, both teams have got new foundations to set. Everything's ready in place now. We've just got to go out there and perform what we can with what we've got and hopefully build on that in seasons to come.
And hopefully we'll see the Proud Lily Whites flag at the new stadium more often.
Most certainly we'll get out there as much as we can. Well, thank you for listening to the Proud Lily White podcast. We'll be doing more of these regularly, so stay tuned in. Hopefully, we'll be covering all different things throughout the rest of, well, the summer and into next season. We're going to be having some special guests, hopefully, so that we can talk more about the England team and how they're going to perform this summer.
Indeed, let's hope. We'll hopefully get some really interesting people to speak to who can tell us a lot more about what's going on. And also, of course, we want to hear from you. What do you think about what's going to happen this summer and indeed next season? Obviously, we'll be looking more in depth at the next season later on in the summer. But for now, the World Cup is featuring heavily in what we're talking about. But we are also looking at, you know, those transfer rumours and hopefully confirmations as the summer progresses.
Fingers crossed.
Well, thank you for joining us. It's been, I hope you enjoyed it. It's been great for us. My name's Sian Wallace and I'll speak to you next time.
And from me, Lee Johnson, thank you very much. And up the Spurs.